out. Introducing the newest WWF Wrestling Buddy, Big Boss Man and Jake the Snake Roberts. Clonk him, plonk him. Wrestling Buddy's want to be your buddy.
Hey, buddy, what's going on?
Nothing, officer.
Body slam!
Hey, who's the wise guy?
Big Boss Man!
Murphy, what's going on?
Nothing, Sarge.
Big Boss Man and Jake the Snake Roberts, the newest WWF Wrestling Buddies from Tonga, each sold separately.
Wrestling Buddies, episode 60. Wow, look at that. We fast forwarded to episode 60. Hi, everybody. I'm
one. One mistake, and you don't get forget about it.
Fucking right, I won't. somebody, I'm not going to say who, but somebody, let's just call him George. We're going to call him George. We're going to say that with the last episode, he marked it as episode 50. So here we are, episode 60. All right, before we get underway, this week here on Wrestling Buddies, we're doing Halloween Havoc 1991, which is known for the Chamber of Horrors match, which is pretty much the definition of wrestle crap. But before we get into that review, Why'd You Stump? That's Twitter. Go follow me there. NitroCast, episode 51 is up. So, go give that a listen. And it's a companion piece to Wrestling Buddies, episode 5. Go ahead, Mike. Tell the people who you is.
You can get me at Cast of Champion or at Mike Spiesman. And by the time you listen to this, a Cast of the Champions will be out. I have decided to do one this week. Ooh. So you will listen to a new one by the time the show is broadcast.
Ooh. What are you going to bitch about?
Everything. It's going to be one big bitch piece.
You know what we got to do?
Bitching and moaning.
One of these days, we're going to have to do a Cast of Champions where we look back at our draft and see who had the better draft.
Oh, yeah. I can play. I got this somewhere.
Yeah. Because you look at what I have. Mm-hmm. That's right. I have the entirety of the Shield. So, yeah, doing a little better. But I do have Daniel Bryan. So, yeah. Okay, we're not going to get into that. Look at that. Wow, I have a good-looking co-host right here. All right. Halloween Havoc 91, here we go. You ready to get down into this, sir?
Oh, yeah.
All right, I'll start here with the intro. Now then, we're here from the UTC Arena in Chattanooga, Tennessee. We get a spooky intro.
The same thing, scary intro.
Yep. Spooky intro, terrifying ghosts. And then we go to our announcers, JR and Tony, who let us know that we have 11 matches tonight. Oh, good Christ. Including 2 out of 3 falls for the WCW World Heavyweight title. And a little teaser of who is the Halloween Phantom? Did you remember anything about the Halloween Phantom?
I don't remember. I remember I didn't watch WCW during this time.
No?
Nope. So everything about this show, the best part about this show that happens later on, I thought it was awesome. So to me, I watched it. I was like, watch it for the first time because I literally was watching it for the first time.
Oh,
so.
Right. Good, because I watched this one not too long ago, so I remembered a whole lot of this stuff. So, and I was big into WCW back in the early 90s. They were always my company of choice. So, we were also informed that Barry Windham was attacked before the show. So, that's unfortunate. Then we go out to Eric Bischoff, who's in the parking lot earlier. this is just...
oh my God, horrible.
This is tremendous, because he's just standing out there, oh yeah, hi, I'm Eric Bischoff, I'm here in the parking lot. He's pretending to be a valet, pretty much.
Yeah.
And then cars just start pulling up. First car shows up, Cactus Jack, he gets out, he just says, bang, bang, and like stares at him. And he's also traveling with Abdullah the Butcher, who is wearing a nice tie and pocket protector, if you didn't notice.
I didn't know Spock. Okay.
Oh, yeah, he gets all up at Eric's shit, then he takes off. And not 2 seconds later, you know, the valet takes away Cactus's car. Here comes DDP and Diamond Stud. They come in.
Yeah.
They kind of blow off Bischoff. Valet takes the car away. Boom, here comes Barry and Dustin. So I thought this was pretty fantastic. They arrive together, but before they can even get out of the car, here comes Zbysko, Arn Anderson. They come running in. They slam Barry's hand into the door. Zbysko shoves Eric, calls him a jerk, and then they bail. So Windham's hands all.
I don't know why they even did that to him. Why they attacked him? They weren't even on the card against each other.
Well, they kind of explain later that Barry wanted to find a partner to take on the tag team champs. So that's all I could think of. I'm sure that there's
He was advertised for the Chamber of Horrors match.
Right. So, I bet you there was some kind of contract reason, you know, and I'm sure that he probably left not too long after the show, I got to think. But anyway, Dustin, like the good friend that he is, he shoves him back into the car and drives him to the hospital. What a hot start. Now then, tell me you are not excited for this show at this point in time.
Oh, yeah, just seeing a young, good-looking Eric Bischoff in his prime, you know, really got me going.
Oh, he was primed. All right, sir, start us off.
Opening match. Okay, first off, I mean, this is the match. If I remember, wasn't this match getting a lot of the billing leading up to this pay-per-view?
Yeah, this was essentially the main event. But, of course, it had to be put on first just because of the rigging.
Yeah, that's the only reason I could understand why they did it, because, it didn't make sense that this was the one they built up, but it was the first match. But after you see this, you understand why. So I'm gonna start off by going out how they introed into the match, okay? First out, representing Team 1 was El Gigante. Next out, representing Team 2, is Vader. Third out, representing Team 2, is a Diamond Stud, as everyone else will later become known as Scott Hall / Razor Ramon, looking quite stealth. Out fourth, was representing Team 2, Cactus Jack. Then out next, representing Team 1, Rickenstott Steiner. Then out next, representing Team 2 again, Abdullah the Butcher. And then finally, with Sting coming out. What? The first thing that really stuck out was, why did they come out like this? All mixed up like that. Instead of, here's Team 2, the heels, consisting of, you know, they get their own intros, got it. Well, they didn't even get their own intro music. They all came out to the same music with the exception of Sting.
Yep, except for Sting. Yep. Yeah, I was so confused. Like, why was this not like, you know, Team Captains?
Huh?
You know, then they just have them all out together. Because I was thinking, oh, wait, hold on, Vader's a face? Because, you know, you got El Gigante out there, then Vader. Hold on. Yeah, I was real confused.
Yeah. And Vader's little mask thing was fucking stupid as hell, too, by the way.
Oh, no, you stop it. I love that awesome.
It's too cartoonish.
I loved it.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, this match, actually, the whole point of this match is they're going to fight each other. This actually doesn't look like a bad match. It's they're inside that stupid cage from the RoboCop.
It looks like the Punjabi prison.
Yeah, the Punjabi prison match. So they're in this stupid-looking cage that they use at the RoboCop pay-per-view. We covered Wrestling Buddies Episode 1. Go back, check it out. And
oh, shit, you're right. That is the same cage.
It's the same cage that Lex Luthor and Ric Flair went at it in. Yeah. So
I blocked that out.
Yeah. So just but if it wasn't for the stipulation that the way you win this match is on the side of the cage, there's a big freaking switch. And sometime after, during the match, this big fucking chair was going to be lowered, and it was called, the Chair of Torture, which was basically an electric chair, okay? It was going to be lowered, and you had to put someone in the chair, hook them up to the electric chair, and throw a switch, and that's how you won the match.
This is the most convoluted fucking match I've ever heard of.
Everybody get that? I want to make sure you all see that. Okay, because honestly, I'm glad we're doing this show because you don't have to, but your interest, if you haven't seen this yet, your interest is going to be piqued just to see how stupid this is. So if this was just a basic 4-on-4 War Games type match, you know, we're not even war, they all just start in the cage, this actually could have been a pretty good match because a lot of the stuff going on was actually not bad. But you throw in the electric chair for some reason, it doesn't make any sense.
Outside of El Gigante, everyone in this match is like a Hall of Famer to me.
Yes. I agree. Yeah. The match starts with this melee all over, in and out of the cage. Sting gets double teamed on the apron. Someone who I think it was Rick Steiner grabbed the chainsaw that Cactus Jack brought to the ring. They didn't have it. Sting ends up getting a kendo stick, and he canes the bad guys in this. Kind of a reference to it. Yeah. We get the referee camera makes a debut.
That is wonderful.
This is Nick Patrick wearing, the best way to describe it, and I don't mean anything bad by this, wearing a retard helmet.
He was wearing a hockey helmet.
It's a retard helmet.
I know what those look like, and that was a hockey helmet.
But the thing about this that made me wonder about it was, how come, besides the stupid contraption, with the technology we have now, how come there's no referee cam now?
Because it would show too much.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe once in a while throw it in there. You maybe put it into a... You can use it for vignettes later.
You got to keep kayfabe alive a little bit. Like you know, you don't want... You could say, okay, matches are predetermined, but you don't want everyone to know, oh my God, they're talking to each other in the ring. So.
Yep. Elegante is replacing Barry Windham, by the way, I forgot to mention earlier. Sting and Cactus Jack are really the best spots in this match. During the middle of the match, a gaggle of ghouls come out to the ring. Come out to on the ramp with a stretcher. At one point, Abdullah gets Rick Steiner in the chair, and Cactus Jack is sent there ready to throw a switch, but takes forever to throw a switch while Rick Steiner is sitting in there. And Rick Steiner ends up belly to belly suplexing Abdullah the Butcher in the chair, and Abdullah just sits there while he lets him strap him in and put the little headset on him. And then Cactus Jack throws the switch with Abdullah the Butcher in there, and the winners is the face team of I can't even figure it out now. El Gigante, Sting, and the Steiners.
Okay, you missed that. That switch kept going into the on position the entire fucking match.
Oh, I couldn't see. I wasn't even paying attention.
Oh, yeah. If you notice, there's a referee on the outside who keeps climbing up the cage to put the switch back into the off position. It is fantastic.
Mm.
Yeah, they do a nice close-up on it, too. onto the switch. As it's in the on position, and JR's talking about it, and he even pauses for a second, like, oh, fuck. Oh, yeah, it just makes this match even more terrible.
Did you see the random mask guy laying on the floor?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, it was, there was a random mask guy who was in one of the coffins that was inside of there.
Yeah, I didn't get that. Yeah. He just came out of there, and I don't know.
Yeah, I said he was the Gimp from Pulp Fiction.
Oh, good point. He did look like him.
Yeah, he's the Gimp. And I noticed that everyone's back is fucking dirty in this. Like, after the match, everyone's dirty.
Uh-huh.
Like, what the hell is going on there? And after the switch is thrown, you know, you get sparks and all that good shit. And the ring catches on fire.
Yeah. Abdullah, afterwards, Cactus Jack tries to resuscitate Abdullah while he's sitting in the chair. I don't know if he's about to try mouth-to-mouth on him or what. But Abdullah comes up and he bangs through Cactus, runs out on the ramp, starts beating up all the ghoul guys, and then him and Cactus leave the ring while hugging or caressing each other.
Arm in arm, yeah. It was fantastic.
I wrote down here, Tony had a line where he said, when Abdullah woke up, he must have thought he was in heaven and knew he shouldn't have been there.
That's a good line by Tony.
Oh, my God.
That's real good. That's good.
So evidently, the loser of this match was supposed to die, and he didn't really die. He woke up, so I don't know.
Well, this is what's really funny about WCW at this time. Now that you can attempt to kill somebody by throwing them into a glorified electric chair, but you can't throw someone over the top rope.
Exactly. Yep.
And for a little while, you couldn't do any moves off the top rope. Yeah. Thanks, Bill Watts. Yeah, so was this your first time watching this match?
Yes, it was.
Okay, I've watched it. I've watched it a couple times, and yeah, it's just terrible. Yes, so yes, if anybody is really looking for the definition of wrestle crap, it is this match. Nothing went right in it. I mean, Cactus almost kills himself basically trying to sell in this match. You know, he gets busted open. Abby busted. It's terrible. Minus 11 stars.
I got busted open in it too, so.
Who did Sting?
Yeah.
No, he didn't. That was Cactus's blood.
Oh, was it?
Yeah. Nope. Yep, because he came over and he, like, put his head, like, right on top of Sting's head. I watched him do it.
Mm.
Yeah, I was watching this at work, so I paid way too close attention to this pay-per-view and got paid to do it. All right, after that hot start, we go to Eric and Missy in the back.
Eric with gorilla tits.
Bischoff is a vampire. Missy's a gorilla. they talk to the Young Pistols, and they don't give a hoot or a heck about the Phantom. They just want a shot at the U.S. Tag Team titles. And actually, whatever Armstrong that was, he cut a fairly decent promo here. So I was pretty impressed with that. And now then, now it's my joy to do this match. So here we go.
We'll take care of business and have some fun. And when this party's over, hear the fat lady sing. Ian and Josh are the friends when they do their thing. Yo, baby, yo, baby, yo. Yo, baby, yo, baby, yo. Yo, baby, yo, baby, yo. All right, what's up, Chattanooga?
That's PN News. The rap master himself, PN News and Big Josh, taking on the Creatures.
A better rapper than Cena.
Get out of here. You know what? And if you want to know what's even funnier, he didn't even write that fucking rap, so there. Suck it. Because it was Christine Volver who was here on behalf of WCW Magazine. She was the PN News rap contest winner. She wrote that.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, so take that. PN News is the fucking worst wrestler ever. The Creatures are Joey Mags and Johnny Rich. So, yeah, it's a jobber tag team. It's wonderful. Big Josh, who we will know later as Doink the Clown, he was fucking jacked.
Yeah, he was. I noticed that, too.
Good God, he was. Yeah, there's no wellness policy in WCW this time. He was gigantic. I guess we gotta get to this match. The Creatures lay it on Josh early. PN News is a fat fuck. But he can do a drop kick, so that's it. His offense just consists of being fat. We get a nice belly-to-back by Big Josh match. Northern Lights by PN News, kind of. Belly-to-belly by Josh with a bit of a cocky pin. Then gets a 1-2-0. The Creatures get some basic offense in. A powerbomb, I think, by Josh. Couldn't really tell. Just saw the end of the move because they, like, panned the crib. Double axe handle. He yells, Timber! Then we get the Northern Exposure, where basically he just runs and, like, teabags the guy. And then the Ratmaster Splash. PN News and Big Josh win. That was fucking terrible. Why were these two a tag team? Good God. Oh, this was...
I wonder if this is the only time they worked together, if they just threw them together for the match. I don't know.
Oh, no, it sounds like they were a team. Yeah. Yeah, how many stars are you giving this match, sir?
Do I have to give stars for this match?
Nah. What'd you think of PN News?
The guy was fantastic.
Oh, shut up.
Eat your heart out, John Cena.
Good, good. He's the worst. He's like 450 pounds, but he's like 5'6". So, he's short and he's gigantic.
But he can move. Big guy.
No, stop it. Will you stop? Yeah, I got stuck with the first shit match of the night. So that match was worse than the Chamber of Horrors matches. So, all right, you're next.
Next match is beautiful Bobby Eaton versus Terrence Taylor with Alexandra York. And I did not even know until this happened that Marlena was in WCW. Yeah. And not only that, this made me actually do some more homework, and I found out she was the creator and manager of the York Foundation, which consisted of Terrence Taylor, Mr. Hughes, Ricky Martin. And at one point, VK Wall Street was in there for a little while before he left for WWF. And there was someone else, too. I can't think the other one was. So, and she would figure out different probabilities using her computer, saying that you can win in 9 minutes because the computer says so, some kind of formula she had on her computer. So, entertaining stuff. I did not know she was in WCW.
Really?
I guess I remember hearing about it, but I didn't know what she did.
Wow, so then you really missed a whole lot then.
I really did. I missed a whole lot.
I'm telling you, man, go back and watch some of this stuff then.
Yeah, and I'm going to, because just doing that homework made me look into it and want to see it. I'm not going to spoil for later, but there's another faction that was found at this pay-per-view that I want to go back and watch a lot of stuff on. So, mm-hmm.
You got to tell the people what Terrence Taylor's nickname is, though. You didn't get that?
No, I didn't get that.
Oh, he's the computerized man of the 1990s.
Oh. Oh, and for people who didn't know who Terrence Taylor is, he used to be the Red Rooster. And I just liked his gimmick because he was a heel, got completely away from the Red Rooster. He looked like an early version of Triple H's original Triple H, Hunter Hearst Helmsley.
What I don't understand is how his ponytail stayed in this entire match.
It did. It really, I noticed that too.
It was amazing. Go ahead, get to it.
Taylor plays the Weasley heel character really good in this match, especially to start off. Eaton beats him up a little bit. They take it out to the ramp. This sets up a. They try calling a knee drop, but look more like a splash, but it'll still look pretty cool. Bob Eaton goes to the top rope and hits a splash on splash or knee drop, whatever it was, on the ramp. For early 90s wrestling, that was actually pretty cool. So,
that'd be cool for nowadays.
Yeah, that was pretty neat. Let's see here. Taylor begs off. They drag Eaton to the floor with a handful of tights. Back in, Taylor hits a really nasty clothesline, gets a two with a splash. Taylor's starting to wear Eaton down. Gets into kind of rest holdy like in this match, I thought, for a little while. They kind of killed a couple minutes with just straight up rest holds. And at one point, Terry Taylor put a version of the camel clutch on him. But really good back and forth here. Eaton goes up to hit the Alabama Jam. Terry Taylor goes for a superplex, but gets knocked back down to the canvas. And then beautiful Bobby hits the Alabama Jam from the top rope, picks up 1-2-3, and what was really a really good match. I mean, too rest holdy for me at some points, but spoiler alert, this is probably my match of the night.
Match of the fucking night. No doubt, I love this match so goddamn much. I even put on Twitter, you know what, guys, everyone, go watch this match.
Yeah.
This is a match that would hold up nowadays. This is two professionals doing what they do best. It was great. I loved every second of it. I absolutely loved it. Bobby throws the best punch in wrestling history.
It was an entertaining match. It was only really one of the few matches where I was watching tonight where I actually didn't get sidetracked watching stuff. The only thing that sidetracked me was looking up the York Foundation information that I did.
This is a total hidden gem. If you guys are listening to us, go watch this match. Serious. Yeah. It's a good 10-minute match. It's fantastic. Yeah, you're right. It does get a little rest holdy.
16 minutes, by the way.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Wow. It didn't feel like it then. So. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a great pace to it. I was never a big Terry Taylor guy, but holy shit, he was working his ass off here. And Bobby Eaton, I'm a big fan of his. So, I mean, he is just one of the most underrated wrestlers ever. So.
Yeah, he's who Stone Cold attributes his success to. He taught him the business.
Yeah, a true pro and a great worker. I mean, he even sticks around until the early days of Nitro. So, let me add a few things here. They kept talking throughout the match about Bobby wanting a TV title shot again. How awesome is that? You know, it makes the title feel important. That's something that we don't get nowadays. You know, no one gives a flying fuck about a title match anymore. You know, because they just get dealt out so willy-nilly. So I really like that. Taylor was actually an effective heel here for pretty much a jobber faction. But, loved every second of this match. Loved it.
I forgot to mention there was a time in there where Taylor hit a nasty powerbomb on the ramp, too. I wrote that down. I don't know why I looked over it.
Yeah, he had a gut-wrench powerbomb.
Yeah, right on the ramp.
out there on the ramp. It made a nice thud.
Mm-hmm.
I do have one a Tony note here. It was during a match, like halfway through, there was a near fall. Many fans were standing up in victory, but it was not victory. I love Tony Schiavone.
Tony pisses me off later on. So.
He's wonderful. But him and JR, they actually work pretty well together here. So, all right, is it my turn? Yeah, laugh.
Yeah.
Jimmy Garden with Michael P.S. Hayes. I don't even get a good Freebird. taking on Johnny B. Bad with Theodore R. Long.
Is the gayest looking character.
Hold on, I'm getting there.
Ever seen.
I'm getting there. I write down, how do I get stuck with the shit matches? And I'm writing this down already. The Freebirds, they are just in all-out face mode here. They're doing the tomahawk chop. They're wearing Braves gear. It's terrible. Michael Hayes, he's wearing a sling. Now then, in WCW, early 90s WCW logic, JR always calls Johnny B. Bad flamboyant. That means gay. this is not as gay as he was on his first appearance, though. So, you know, he's toned it down a smidge. But I will give Mark Merritt all the credit in the world for owning the shit out of that gimmick. You got to give him credit for that.
Yeah, and later on, he does get to hang out with Kimberly, too. So.
Oh, God. You know what, though? Those matches were okay, because he had a nice feud with DDP, and the matches were actually pretty good. Yeah, those were early days of Nitro. We actually get like a mixed reaction for Bad, which was really surprising. He even had a few cheers there, so good for him.
I can tell you, because I said I didn't know, but I didn't know who it took me halfway into the match to figure out who the heel was.
Yeah, it was Johnny B. Bad.
I was trying to figure out, I know they were Tennessee, I'm trying to figure out, is there a team around there that they're wearing the Brave stuff for? I didn't know that was the team they liked there, so it took me a minute to figure it out.
Yeah, they were, yeah, Freebird trying to be faces, which, you know, had me surprised. It just seemed really disingenuous. You know, it just seemed like they were heels doing this. You were absolutely correct.
Yep.
Michael Hayes leads a Freebirds chant there at the beginning. We get a Bad blaster shot. okay, Johnny B. Bad, he had some really great footwork. I will say that, and his punches are so crisp and fantastic. Garvin with a hip toss, which sends him over the top rope. And Michael Hayes was sandbagging that son of a bitch. He pulls his hand out of that sling and he gives a shot to Johnny B. Bad. So really, who is the face in the heel now?
That's last time.
Yep. We get a power slam, and then Garvin bounces out the ropes a good 12 times before landing a stiff forearm. We get some arm work by Garvin. Bad fires back with some fists, educated fists. Yeah, take that. A towel choke after a Teddy Long distraction for Johnny B. Bad. But then he botches a top rope sunset flip because Garvin was about 3/4 across the ring. But I got to say, Johnny B. Bad was an underrated athletic guy. I mean, he was super athletic because he gets some gigantic height on this top rope sunset flip. It was just too bad. You know, he didn't wait till Garvin moved in about 4 feet. We get a macho elbow drop that gets 1-2-0. He goes back up top, but he goes to the well once too often. And Tony called it, too. So good job on Tony right there. Bad oversells a missed elbow to the corner. Goes flying to the floor. Back in, Garvin hits a DDT, but Teddy's on the apron. So we got a distraction. Bad gets up, hits a left hook for the 1-2-3. Johnny B. Bad won. This match was better than I thought it'd be, at least. Garvin's foot was under the rope, but Peanut Head moved it. So
I broke that down. That was a fantastic line. Jim Ross kept, and he kept calling him that too. Me and my wife were both laughing.
Oh yeah, there was a nickname. Yeah, they called him Peanut Head. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Mr. Peanut. Yeah, this match was better than it should have been. Garvin actually got himself into some pretty decent shape here. So, but yeah, he's my least favorite Freebird ever, and one of my least favorite wrestlers of all time. So I can't stand Jimmy Garvin. Yeah, what'd you think? Meh, it was a match.
It was a match.
Yeah, it was a match. It was filler. Mm-hmm. It was nice to see Bad to work that gimmick, though. So at least there was that. We go to the back. Missy's still looking for the Phantom. She stopped Bobby Eaton, and he's going to go celebrate with a pumpkin. So. He carried around a goddamn pumpkin. I'm trying to go celebrate. Whatever. All right, yeah, you go ahead and enjoy your good matches.
Didn't they this whole Phantom thing, this WCW Phantom, I wonder how long before this they actually started saying that there was going to be a Phantom guy at the pay-per-view.
It seems like it had been hyped pretty decently. I mean, because, you know, you have both backstage announcers.
Trying to find everything.
Yeah, really selling it. The announcers sell it throughout the entire night, so. So, yeah, so they really put some build behind it, and, yeah, and it was surprising that it actually paid off. So.
Yeah. All right, next matchup for the WCW TV title, Stunning Steve Austin with wife number two, Lady Blossom, versus Dustin Rhodes. On paper, this should be a good match. It sounds like it's going to be a good match. So this is a 15-minute match. I'm going to say that first off because the first 10 minutes go by blind, numbingly slow. It was horrible. The biggest thing that happened the first 10 minutes is Dustin got busted open after he hit his and slammed his head off the something on the floor. So I don't know exactly. I don't know if he must have bladed, but you know, he was bleeding pretty good.
Of course he did. He's Dusty's kid.
Yeah. So, if I didn't know what was going to happen this match, I would have guessed that it was going to be a draw because the announcer kept announcing every 5 minutes that, there's 10 minutes left in this match. There's 5 minutes left in this match. Then he got down to every minute after that.
Yeah, that's what they did.
Yeah. So, basically the first 10 minutes, nothing but rest holds with a couple little things going on in there. There's nothing really to talk about there. Austin blocks a monkey flip and knocks Dustin with a flying clothesline. So we finally get some action. This gets a two. Dustin returns, hits a clothesline of his own, and Atomic drops, sets up another flying clothesline, but Austin's in the ropes. And here, my notes are horrible. Austin, he then takes a bump into the railing and he starts to bleed, so now we got two of them going on. Then Dustin Rhodes starts doing his daddy impression, does his bionic elbow and his little rolling hands and blah, blah, blah.
It was flip, flop, and fly.
Yep, flip, flop, and fly.
I loved it.
He hits a flying clothesline and goes for, he attempted about six pins in the last minute of the match alone. He hit a flying clothesline, went for the pin, which the announcers were talking about how Dustin had the match won, but Austin clearly kicked out at two anyways, just as the 15-minute time limit draw came up to an end. So, it's a time limit draw. Austin keeps the belt, and this leads me into my biggest note about this. Why the hell? I mean, if this is going to be a time limit match, because I understand it's a TV title, this is a title that should not be on a pay-per-view, in my opinion. You're going to keep a time limit draw because a pay-per-view, you shouldn't have time limit draws. This is where you're supposed to showcase everything you've got in your company and to have a match end with a time limit draw. I understand the TV title. I love the concept of the TV title. I think it's something they need to do now, but I don't like it on a pay-per-view for this reason. But the first 10 minutes, slow as hell. The last 5 minutes, they really start picking up the offense. Save that match from being just a dull bore.
Well, I will put a different spin on it. I will say that the slow pace at the beginning made it feel even bigger towards the end when something did happen. But I'm just trying to put it nicely that, the first 10 minutes were boring.
Yeah.
as soon as Austin puts out the pressure, right after Dustin got busted, Austin just puts on the pressure. That's smart wrestling right there. It was cool to see a technician Steve Austin, not brawler Steve Austin.
Yeah.
Tony says that cut is a long way from his heart, if you wills. That's what his daddy would have said. And the announcers, they put it over pretty smartly, about the time limit. The last 4 minutes, it really picked up. It was great. I liked the near falls there at the end. Good match. I mean, on this card, it was probably the second best match of the night.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, it was pretty nice. And Lady Blossom had some huge cans.
Yep. She looked almost exactly like Deborah, just a younger version of Deborah.
She was wife number two. I thought she was wife number one. He was married before her?
He had a marriage annulled before that. I guess you call that. He was married. Yeah, they got married in 92, I think it was. Something like that. I was looking that up earlier.
Huh. Yeah, sure as much I know. She doesn't stick around much too longer after this, though, so. Okay, well.
Yeah, you get another stellar match, sir.
You jealous? you jealous about this one? Because Oz versus Bill Kazmaier. I write down right here, are you shitting me? Bill Kazmaier, the world's strongest human being. He's not the world's strongest man. He's the world's strongest human being, because Guinness said, because, the Guinness Book of World Records said so. And he comes out carrying a balloon of the earth. This is balls. It's a cool-down match. They can't even do Irish whips correctly here. That's how inept these two fucks are. Nash almost breaks Kazmaier's neck with a suplex.
I noticed that, too. I wrote that down, too.
And Kazmaier skins the cat. Is that not the most amazing thing you ever saw?
Yeah, that was... me and my wife both did the same thing. We got fucking almost... 350-pound guy just doing something that a 200-pound Shawn Michaels does.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was amazing. His torture rack is worse than Lex Luger's. Bill Kazmaier wins. This was terrible. It was garbage.
I feel bad for Nash.
Why? He was shit even then. He was guess what? He was shit in 91. He was shit in 2001. So,
I love this deal.
Oh, Christ. I hate him more. I hate him even more now after Road Wild 97. So.
Yeah. Yep.
All right, sir. Now that it here's my haha fuck you moment. Payback, bitch.
Van Hammer versus what was the Doug Summers name here?
Doug Summers.
No, yeah, he had beautiful Doug Summers, or he had some kind of sexy man Doug Summers, something like that. I can't remember exactly what it was.
Something like that.
Yeah. Either way, but yeah, Doug Summers looks like a 90-year-old jobber, and Van Hammer looks like a young guy that. The way the announcers built him up coming out, like they really thought that they were going to try to build this guy into a big star.
They were.
It sounded like they really did. Like I said, I don't know much about WCW, but that's why I said it. But this turned out to be a total squash shit match. And basically, it's just him beating the hell out of Doug Summers. And he wins with what can be described as a horrible slingshot suplex where he almost kills Doug Summers.
I put that almost...
much in the same light as Oz did the previous match.
I put down almost cripples Summers.
yes, it was bad. Ran his head, but there was a cool part in there where he started doing the we are the champions ref with the bangers.
We will rock you,
right?
I'm the champion.
Yeah.
Van Hammer's the worst wrestler I've ever seen. I'd rather watch Bill Kazmaier. I mean, Hammer gives up a headlock at the start. That's how bad he is.
Yeah.
Yeah, he fucked up a spot, then he goes, oh, wait, no, hold on, here, Doug, you take it. Have you ever seen Doug Summers before?
No.
He was a tag team wrestler, like, in the AWA, and I don't remember who his tag team partner was right now. I'm drawing a blank. But they had some really good matches against the Rockers. So.
Was it Lassie?
I don't know, but you know, thick.
I'm thick because he looks like he's 90 years old.
No, he was a pretty good technician. Yeah, those matches were pretty good. So, but yeah, he's obviously way past his prime here, and you know, just brought into job in 30 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, at this point in time, WCW was really doing like this youth movement. So it was based around Van Hammer, PN News. I want to say Marcus Alexander Bagwell. And, you know, a few other guys. So, yeah, they were really pushing these young guys very hard. But, yeah, Van Hammer, he's the worst.
Pushing him hard.
Yeah, pushing him hard. All right, here we go. Light heavyweight title match. Look at that. I finally get something decent to talk about.
Yeah.
Possibly. Brian Pillman taking on Richard Morton. The recently turned heel Richard Morton, along with Alexander York. We had a nice fired-up promo by Pillman before the match. York and Morton, they counter with their own. And Pillman's barely out for the match, and we already get a walk-on at Miami of Ohio and all that other bullshit, you know. You know what to expect here.
Hey, don't forget, Nick Patrick with his window looker cam is back.
Oh, yeah, referee, that is back. We get two great mullets here. Even before the match starts, JR reminds us he was walk-on. He was walk-on at Miami of Ohio. Christ. But you know what, though? At least it's good background work by JR. So I will say that. I will take that any day of the week, as opposed to what we get nowadays. So we get some nice stalling by Morton to start. We get a spinning karate kick by Pillman. That sends Morton to the floor. Boy, JR. It was a karate kick. It was a spinning heel kick. Get a great head and shoulders fake, and then a shh. By Pillman, and then he does a splash onto Morton. That was good. It's very mat based to start. We get a Japanese arm drag. When was the last time you saw one of those? Never. you want to know the last time you saw one of those? It was when Pillman was still alive.
Oh.
JR explains why they keep going back to the headlock. And it's super smart. Because, you know, he even says, hey, you know what? Unlike the TV title match, there's no time limit here. Unlike the main event, this isn't 2 out of 3 falls. You have 1 fall here. So, you know, you want to ground your opponent. You want to wear him down. How smart is that?
Yeah, good announcing.
Oh,
yeah.
It was so fantastically done. And Pillman had to be one of JR's favorites. I really got to think that. I mean, you know, just how he talks about him. And, you know, he put him over like $1 million. It was really weird to see Ricky Morton in control, though, but I guess it worked. We get a desperation integrity by Brian, and then some huge chops. He threw some great chops. We get a double noggin knocker, sends them both to the floor. Pillman gets rammed shoulder first into the post. Morton kind of takes his time getting back into the ring. Pillman immediately scales to the top rope, hits a crossbody, 1, 2, 3. Flying Brian is your first WCW light heavyweight champion.
That's right.
Not a bad match. I mean, it was slow. I'll tell you that much. This is not what when you hear the words light heavyweight title match in WCW, yeah, this isn't what you're thinking. So, I mean, this is a technical match. Just to warn everybody, so you know what, it may not be for you. This is still basically 80s style wrestling. So, you know, it's definitely not for everybody. I'll say that much. I don't know how much 80s wrestling you watch anymore, but did that affect you any bit though? Like how slow the matches were. Did they still work for you?
Yep.
Good.
You don't care.
Good. Then that just shows the timeless quality that some of these guys had. Good. That's what I like to hear. An okay match. It wasn't what I was expecting. Honestly, I was expecting a little bit more.
Yeah. Slow. It was really slow.
Yeah, really slow pace. I mean, they grounded out some headlocks here. So, two and a half star match, I would say. You know, nothing spectacular, but you know what? I'll take it.
Yeah.
All right, sir.
The next matchup is your favorite, the Z-Man.
Yeah, fucking Z-Man.
Z-Man versus the WCW Halloween Phantom. So, out comes the Phantom. And once they get a close-up of this guy's face, you know exactly who it is.
It was Tom Selleck.
Yeah. But my problem with that is they should have made a better mask. This is a squash match. Forearm shots, body slam, eye back rake. What's his name? Z-Man finally gets a little bit of offense, but the Howling Phantom no sells, and then he hits a neck breaker for the win. During the replay, they're showing super genius Tony Schiavone decides to say, "Hey, that finisher looks like the Rude Awakening. We've seen that move before." And at this time made me think, like, I knew it was Rick Rude, it's obvious, but I couldn't remember this was his first appearance, and I come to find out it was, but Tony Schiavone's an idiot. and so are the costume designers. They should have made that a full mask. Because it would have been more, I mean, knowing now, obviously, you can play devil's advocate all day long, they fucked this up. I mean, they fucked this whole thing up. They could have him come out, you know, with a mask on. He couldn't tell who it was. Do the seller, and then he does the Rude neck breaker. They don't call it the Rude Awakening because it's stupid to do it that way. And then you have the reveal later, but when it's obvious later on who it becomes. So
this ranks right up there with this is worse than Bobby Heenan going, but whose side is he on? This is worse than that. Because, I mean, it's just Tony going, pointing a finger going, "Hold on, that's Rick Rude."
Yeah.
I got to say that my favorite wrestler of all time, the Z-Man, he shakes hands with Gary Michael Capetta before the match starts. Yeah.
I know that too.
What a dickhead. I fucking hate him. But, yeah, this was a squash. A great clothesline, though, by the Phantom, though, at the beginning. I mean, it almost broke Z-Man's neck. Too bad he didn't really. Yeah, this was terrible. All right, my turn. Here we go. Next contest, WCW Tag Team Title Match. So the U.S. Tag Team Champs, the Patriots, are taking on the Enforcers.
Chip the Firebreaker.
Yep, Firebreaker, Chip, and Todd Champion. Now that
I'll tell you this. Well, before you get into this, Chip the Firebreaker look like one of those male strippers that women will hire their friends for a birthday party, the way he came out. When he had the little suspenders on, he has a little fire hat. And Pam's the one that knows that. I guess she's seen a lot of strippers, I guess. I don't know. But,
That's his night job.
I guess so.
Okay, so WCW, they had, like, WCW Special Forces. That's what they wanted to do. They had, like, the Patriots and, like, Bill Kazmaier and a few other guys that they wanted to turn into, like, a cartoon. So yeah, so they were gonna push these talentless hacks, you know, as part of like a cartoon and all this other shit. Thank God they didn't. Yeah, they look like you know, rejects from the Village People. And then when the enforcers come out, I just write down, this is what a tag team looks like. For anybody that doesn't know who the enforcers are, it's Arn Anderson and Larry fucking Zbyszko. So yes, this is I was really happy to get this match. We get an abdominal stretch 30 seconds in. God damn it, I love Larry Zbyszko. No, actually, that made me want to throw something through the TV because I hate the abdominal stretch. I want Firebreaker Chip to take a piss test. But again, there's no wellness policy in WCW. Arn tags in, and he is just the coolest motherfucker on the planet.
Even the way he got in the ring that first tag?
Yes.
Awesome.
You tell me he is not the coolest fucker ever.
Good chest hair. God.
Oh, yeah, hairy chest and all. Who cares? Hairy chest, balding. He was still fucking cool. And Arn almost makes it look like Chip can wrestle. And then he grounds Champion with some methodical stomps and elbows. They go to the floor. We get a pile driver tease. Back in, bear hug by Champion. I hate Champion now. Zbyszko helps double team GI Champ. But a double clothesline clears the ring. There's a kid in the crowd with a Jason Voorhees mask, which really kind of fucking creeped me out. But then I realized, oh yeah, that's right. This is a Halloween-based pay-per-view. So I was okay with that. We get some nice heel work by the tag champs. Zbyszko and Arn, they work over Champion. We get quick tags, efficient double teaming. A great blind tag by Arn when Champion was suplexing him. That was good stuff right there. Champion eventually gets the mile tag to Chip. He fights both guys off, all four in. We get a spine buster by Arn after an inadvertent headbutt. Enforcers win. Those guys are fantastic. Patriots are a terrible waste of space. But you know what? I got to see one of my favorite wrestlers of all time, Arn Anderson. So, made it worth it. Best tag worker ever.
Yeah, Arn Anderson's great.
Oh, yeah. Best tag worker fucking ever. All right. Here we go, sir. You get this next segment.
Yes, because, like I said, if I was watching this back in the day and I didn't know what was going on, this was fantastic. I'm already ranking this up there as one of the best intros, even though we already knew who the fuck it was. But, and I'm going to hit play on this because you get to see an early Paul, at the time, Paul E. Dangerously, in his initial works of greatness.
First of all, there's a story that nobody here has had the guts to break. For those of you who have been watching television and haven't seen me for a couple of weeks, WCW is headed by a steering committee, a bunch of modern-day Einstein that don't realize it's 1991. See, these guys think I'm too controversial. These guys say, Paul, and interestingly, you're too outspoken. So they say to me, Paul, eat dangerously. You are no longer the co-host of World Championship Wrestling! Now! This means war! This means war on the championship committee! This means war on World Championship Wrestling! God, I happen to have a manager's license. And the way to bankrupt this whole damn company is to take away your heroes! Right at the top with Sting. Because what would WCW do without Sting? So, I went out and got the First Lady of World Championship Wrestling, Medusa. And I said, Medusa, find me the man that can eliminate Sting for good. Find me this man, and this man is here in this building tonight. And Jim Ross couldn't pull his mask off. And Tony Schiavone couldn't pull his mask off. Maybe you could have, but he's been in the back watching the World Series game. Ladies and gentlemen, the man Medusa brought to me is here tonight. His name is the WCW Halloween Victor.
I'll stop it there, but for people who say that Paul Heyman just, you know, there are people who say he wasn't good in the early days. And his mic skills.
Nobody said that.
I've seen shit like that online.
Oh, people are idiots.
Yes, and people are idiots. But that right there, I mean, because Paul looks good there. He's skinny. He's in shape.
He's got Zach Morris's cell phone.
He's got Zach Morris's cell phone. Yeah, that's something I point out to my wife. And even she doesn't like Paul Heyman just because she doesn't like him. Because she's a good and bad type wrestling fan. She's, you know, the casual fan.
Right. Yeah. You're not supposed to.
Yeah. Exactly. But yeah, that was fantastic. Even Rick Rude's promo. I don't want to play the whole thing, but Rick Rude's promo when they unveiled him, it was what he said is great. Rick Rude is such an one of the most underrated of all time, I think.
We have seen so many underrated athletes on this show.
Yes, yes. And he never really, I mean, injury kind of sidelined his WCW thing because he was gonna be big in WCW. I don't want to say this is kind of like a precursor to the NWO because it had that kind of precursor NWO feel to it when they said they were pretty much going to destroy WCW brick by brick. But it just came off really well. And I really wish I'd have watched it this time.
You would have hated them.
Yeah, that's the whole point. You're supposed to hate them.
Yep.
Yeah.
This is the beginning of what I believe to be the best faction of all time.
I'm going to have to go back and watch some of this stuff.
Talent-wise.
That right there made me want to go watch all these pay-per-views after it. And I've already started kind of Wikipedia and this stuff so I can kind of get a feel for it, but I'm going to go back and watch some of their shit because I thought he was great.
Talent-wise, this is probably the best faction of all time because eventually it starts with Paul Heyman. There's Rick Rude. You add in the Enforcers. You add in Stunning Steve Austin. Bobby Eaton. He ends up in there, right?
I don't remember. But...
yeah, think about that. Think about all that work rate right there. There's not a scrub in the entire bunch. Yeah, talent-wise, best faction all time. Dangerous Alliance. And probably one of the most overlooked as well. But yeah, I mean, I wasn't expecting to get a payoff to the WCW Phantom tonight. Because if this was nowadays, we wouldn't have.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they would have saved that. They would have saved that for Monday.
Because
you know how it goes. I mean, you know, pay-per-view sets up TV nowadays. But yes, what a great segment that was. All right. You ready to hit the main event?
One second. I'll tell you. It was Rick Rude, Arn Anderson, Bobby Eaton, Stunning Steve Austin, Larry Zbyszko. Mm-hmm. Says P.S. Hayes was barely with the Alliance. Paulie and Medusa, for people who don't know in the show, actually is married to one of my Army buddies, just so you know.
No kidding.
I told you that.
Yeah, I don't remember.
He married Alan Jonasson. He and I were stationed together back like 15 years ago, and now he's a sergeant major, and they got married.
Remember words.
Yeah.
All right, main event time. Here we go. 2 out of 3 falls for the WCW World Heavyweight title. This is not the big gold belt because Flair took that with him.
Flair took that with him, yep.
Because he owned it. So, and he went to court and all that good shit. And, you know, it was a big mess. We get a video package of Ron Simmons training at Florida State, including getting a pep talk from Bobby Bowden. And then here he comes, Ron Simmons with the American Dream, Dusty Rhodes. Taking on the world champion Lex Luger with Harley Race and Mr. Hughes.
Did Mr. Hughes leave right after he came down? Because I didn't see him the rest of the match.
Nick Patrick, he explains the rules right here at the beginning. And then he kicks Hughes out.
Okay.
Yeah.
Patrick was missing his retard helmet. That kind of disappointed me.
Oh, stop it.
Stop.
Will you stop? But, you know, having Patrick explain the rules gave this like a legit sports feel. Just a little thing I picked up. Every heel had a manager in WCW at this point. So there's that. I gotta say, my notes weren't the best on this because, you know what? For a 2 out of 3 falls match, not a whole fucking lot happened.
No.
Simmons, he gets the first fall after a power slam and a spine buster out of nowhere.
Really, too quick to it.
Real quick, real impactful, looked great. And then they get like 60 seconds afterwards. So, you know, each guy goes to their corners again, you know, keep them like the sports real fight feel. We get a nice close up on Dusty's forehead as he's whispering sweet nothings into Ron Simmons' ears.
During this time, Dusty says, if there's something in his pants, we're going to find it.
If there's something in his pants, we're going to find it, baby. We're going to find it. The toughest guy out there is Harley Race. I will say that much. Because even there, Harley Race is still a scary motherfucker. And he proves it a few seconds later when he yells at Nick Patrick. And I got to say, I got a little scared. So Luger, his back is all effed up at this point. He's selling the bag. He can barely walk. Actually, really good chicken shit heel stuff by Luger. Will you stop?
I had to find it in the background.
I got to say, I enjoy Luger as a chicken shit heel. He's only played it a couple times, but he does it so well.
He stole the beating. It's pretty good, too.
Damn right he did.
He really did.
Yep. JR and Tony, they do a great job of selling Lex's back injury, as does Lex. Second fall comes...
Hold on a second. Before you get to that.
Sure.
Right before the second fall happened, JR says, two out of three falls, there aren't going to be any cheap ones in this one.
Yeah. Yeah. So, there isn't,
Are you sure? So, sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Nope, you're good. Yeah, because for fall two, Simmons goes charging at Luger, who's on the ropes. Harley Race holds on to Simmons. Oh, wait, no. Luger charges Simmons. Simmons was on the ropes. Harley grabs a hold of Simmons' tights.
I guess.
Well, no, yeah. He definitely held on to him because we had to see Ron Simmons' ass. Mm. And then Lex takes a big tumble to the floor. It's a DQ because Lex went over the top rope.
By himself.
Yeah, by himself. It's referee's discretion, so...
It was dumb.
Yep, that was terrible.
When I read the Wikipedia on this one, I really thought that Ron Simmons grabbed him and threw him over the top rope by accident. The stupid WCW rule.
Oh, yeah.
So, but it was ignored early in the night, because there was a couple matches where they were throwing people over the top rope and no one ever got called for it.
Yeah, it was at referee's discretion. So, I mean, as long as it was, during the course of the match or something like that, it was fine. As long as it was, your own momentum or something. Luger gets busted open hard way here, somehow. So there's that. Fall three time, Luger hits an ugly pile driver, which he calls the attitude adjustment.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to put your joke there.
Yep, insert joke there. it was a terrible pile driver, one of the worst I've ever seen.
Simmons just let go when he was up for it.
Yeah.
He just isn't that how you're supposed to protect yourself from killing yourself in that match, in that move?
That looked terrible. But at least the announcers put over that, because Lex had been doing a little bit of shoulder work, and so they even smartly, after on the replay, they said, look at that. It hit on his shoulder mostly. So, again, smart shit. See, now then, this is what happens when you don't have someone like Vince McMahon in your fucking ear.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, there's that. But Lex Luger, he retains in the third fall, clean as a sheet, too.
Mm-hmm.
This really seemed like the logical spot for Simmons to win.
I was thinking the exact same thing. I'm glad you said it.
Yeah.
The way they built it up, it kind of reminds me of the way they built Booker T up in that WrestleMania match against Triple H, and Triple H for some reason got the win. Booker T should have won that match.
Yep.
In that same breath.
I thought that this was where Ron Simmons won. So I was thinking, oh yeah, okay, cool. This is going to be a good end of the pay-per-view. Ron Simmons gonna win the title. Yeah, I forgot that he won the title against Vader. So.
Yep, Vader. It was next year, wasn't it? The year after?
Yeah, it was months afterwards. So,
yeah.
So yeah, I mean, kind of a letdown there at the end. But Tony Schiavone, to pick us up, he says that this will go down as one of the greatest matches of all time.
Yeah, I remember that too. Remember
yep,
that
he was dumb in 1991 too, folks. All right, overall, what'd you think of the pay-per-view?
Well, first off, I want to say one more thing, too. I kind of missed the... I saw the old steel guardrails. I kind of miss those old steel guardrails. Those just brought... I like those things, too.
But... Well, I watch so much old stuff that, it's still there for me. So.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But, yeah, what'd you think overall?
Okay, match of the night, obviously, was Terrence Taylor and... Beautiful Bobby Eaton.
Yeah, by far.
Yeah, great match. MVP of the night, I just showed it, was Paul Heyman delivering a great fucking promo it's a precursor to everything he does in his career. And I just thought it was fantastic. Worst match of the night, huh?
I'm giving my MVP to Jim Ross.
That's cool. That's fine.
Yeah, because, I mean, you know, just to go from, you know, what we hear nowadays for commentary to that was just fantastic, you know.
Yeah.
They made everything feel important and everything meant something, so.
I think the shittiest match of the night was probably the Oz match. That's what I put down for that one.
Yep.
That was just,
Well, there's a tie. I mean, between that one and then the Van Hammer Doug Summers one, you know, ugh. You know, that's a double-decker shit sandwich right there.
Yeah. And that's pretty bad, seeing how the first match we had on this, you know, that wasn't the worst match.
Yeah, that wasn't the worst match. It was the dumbest one.
Yeah.
It was easily one of the dumbest and most convoluted, everything that could go wrong went wrong. Mm-hmm. You know, it's wrestle crap. That's
and
it.
Someone died but didn't die.
Yep.
So, yeah. And that cage looked horrible, too, again.
Yep.
What was that you said the cage was from? It was from, what was that? That was a video, wasn't it? We talked about that in episode one. That cage looked like the Duran Duran video, I think it was.
Oh, yeah. Wild Boys.
Yeah, yeah. So.
Yep. Yeah, it was a combination between that and the Punjabi prison. So. It was terrible, and apparently it was dirty because everyone in that fucking ring was filthy. So.
Yeah. But other than that, I mean, there were some good matches in there, though. You know, so a couple decent matches. This hasn't been the worst pay per view we've covered.
Oh God, no.
By far.
No, this was actually one of the better ones. I really enjoyed myself watching this.
Yeah, I mean, there were a couple times where I kind of toned out a little bit, but I'm gonna go with a 5.5, maybe 6 on it. I'll go that high.
I'm going to 6.
Yeah.
I'm going to 6. I think that's probably one of the highest grades that we've given.
I think so. Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not that this was like a perfect pay-per-view, but there was just so much talent that kind of showed through. It was cool to go back and see Steve Austin not as stone cold, to not see him just punching and kicking, you know, and giving middle fingers.
Yep.
So, you know, and that was cool. And to see a young Dustin Rhodes who... The nickname The Natural, it's perfect for him because that guy just knew what he was doing even at such a young age.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, again, it was fun to watch him too. But you know, it also helps that, you know, his dad was on the booking committee. So. Yeah, I'm surprised he wasn't world champion there. So yeah.
Will you stop?
Yeah, you stop. All right, we good?
I think that's it, sir.
I think we said all we're gonna say.
I don't think we haven't figured out what we're going to do next, so...
No, we haven't.
We'll figure it out.
Yeah, we got time on our side.
I think that's about it, though. One more thing I want to talk about real quick. They show a couple promos for the next pay-per-view, which was Starrcade 91.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't Starrcade supposed to be, like, their answer to WrestleMania?
Has
it always been billed like that, or...
Yeah, kind of, but they usually just destroy by having the Battle Bowl.
That's what I was. That was my question on it because I couldn't understand that there was no title match in there. It was just
that was always my biggest complaint about WCW is that they never had that one like defining show.
Yeah,
you know, they didn't have their own WrestleMania.
They tried to make it later on, but
yeah, but you know, I mean, even up to where I'm at, they're still doing Battle Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
You know, which is just terrible. Terrible, terrible, terrible.
Okay. I think it about covers it, sir.
Yes, sir. All right. I'm sure that definitely will not be the last early 90s WCW show we'll be covering. I guarantee it. I guarantee you there's more crap there, and we'll find it, goddammit.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
That's what the network is for. We have to keep looking.
That's right. We'll have to come up with something creative here for the next one. I mean, we've been going a little WCW heavy here so far, so we got to spread a little bit, got to spread a little love around.
Yeah,
so we'll find something. All right, Y2 Stump, that's my Twitter. Go follow me there. NitroCast, go listen to that as well. There's episodes out.
That's right. Check out the Cast of the Champions. There will be one out. I will do one. I'm motivated. I'll probably do it tomorrow. So I'm motivated now. Remotivated. Cast of Champion or at Mike Spiesman. You can catch me there.
Yeah, just don't let the current product get you down.
Yeah.
You know, it's always...
Thank God for the network because I'm so down on the current product right now.
Well, that's why it's nice to watch shows like this. Because, you know, as bad as the current product is, you know, we're still going to be wrestling fans no matter what.
Mm-hmm. So,
all right, sir. Play us out.
Yes. Okay.
Wrestling buddies.
Wrestling buddy, bye.
Pause in search of a